everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of 80s Horror Films. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I've got my co-hosts here. I've got Rebecca Reinhardt with us. How are you doing, Rebecca?
Doing great.
All right. And Joe Gonzalez, how are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
Great. And we also got a newbie here who's actually new to horror too herself. Please welcome Mackenzie Kelly. How are you doing, Mackenzie?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. We're excited.
We love to have virgins.
Yeah. We might have to steal her for a lot more shows because I guarantee you she hasn't seen many of the 80s horror films. So we maybe she'll become a new co-host for it too. Before we get into all that, we're going to be talking about 1984's horror hit, A Nightmare on Elm Street. So let's begin with this, as I think like most of us have seen this film like, I don't know, a dozen times, if not like probably a lot, period. I guess, Rebecca, like when was the first time that you saw A Nightmare on Elm Street and what was your like experience?
So again, I'm the grandma of the group. So in 84, I would have been 8. I did not see the movie when it came out. That was something my sister saw, but it was also the time, like that golden era of like the awesome trailers that they would play on TV that were like no holds barred. And I remember seeing that scene with Tina, like on the ceiling in the trailer. And I was just scared shitless before I ever even saw the movie. I probably saw the movie like probably when it came out on video or HBO, you know, within the year or two after, you know. So that's probably when I really started watching horror, was like when I was like 9 or 10 anyway. But it did not disappoint once I saw it. Now I think there is we kind of have scary movie kind of syndrome with this movie and a lot of others, and that is that they've been parodied 6 Ways to Sunday. They've had so many sequels. They've had like comedic takes within the movies themselves that it kind of takes away, it detracts from the original fear and the originality that this movie had when it came out. But this movie was completely original and terrifying, and any, you know, CG in it was amazing. Any of the practical effects, they were amazing. This was very groundbreaking at the time.
Well, definitely, yeah. So, well, Joe, what about you? When was the first time that you remember seeing this film?
Well, this movie, I think this movie came out like 2 weeks after I was born. And, like, seriously, I think it was like, what does it say on? I think IMDb says like November 16th or some shit like that. So it was like literally 2 weeks after I was born. So I didn't see it till I was, I want to say maybe 6 or 7. Like we watched a lot of that stuff at a young age.
All right, good. I definitely saw it years later after it came out because I was 2, you know, when it came out. So I wasn't old enough to really watch it. I'm glad my parents didn't let me watch movies like that when I was like 2. So probably would have screwed me up a little bit. But now, Mackenzie, you're new to this. So explain to everybody when you saw it.
I saw it a few weeks ago with Jonathan. I went over to your house, you know, and I watched it for the first time. I was not born until 91, so I wasn't even around when it came out. But I just didn't watch a lot of horror movies because Jonathan knows this. I grew up in a haunted house, and so scary movies, like, freak me out anyway. But I will say, like, watching it for the first time as an adult and also, what, 30 years after it came out is quite a different experience than I'm sure for people who grew up watching it, you know.
Definitely. So yeah, it's been over 30 years since it came out and everything, and it's like Freddy is still synonymous with, like, you know, like the horror and everything from Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, people know Freddy. And so, like, Mackenzie, you were aware of who Freddy was growing up, you know, and everything. You just took a while to watch the movie. So what was your experience watching it for the first time when you did?
I was expecting to be really scared, but I think it's a great movie. I like, it's one that I will want to watch around Halloween time every year now. But it's weird, like, watching it as an adult for the first time, because for me, it wasn't scary at all. Mm-hmm. And the effects are just different, you know, because it was the 80s and they've come a long way since then. So for me, a lot of the effects weren't super believable or anything, but I do think that overall it's an incredible movie, and I try to keep in mind that it was made in the 80s. So for that time, it was a lot different than what it is, you know, watching it now. But I loved it. I thought it was, I will say, I thought the concept behind it is a lot more terrifying than the actual movie itself is scary. But I thought it was great.
So I have a question for you. This is like one of the, like, I'm just going to like pick your brain.
Yeah.
How much of it do you think that you couldn't get scared by it because of the dating in it? So the big hair, the landlines, we don't have those anymore, you know, like not just the effects, like obviously there's going to be some stuff where it's like, oh, that looks like crap now, but it didn't look like crap then. And you can recognize that, but just the whole idea that you can't identify quite as much with the characters because their lives are so different than yours. Did that affect you at all, do you think?
No, because I think I was born in the very early 90s, and so I still grew up around like all the stuff from the 80s, and so I mean that stuff wasn't hard for me to like resonate with. I think it was just like that very famous scene where she goes and she's on the ceiling and there's just blood everywhere. Mm-hmm. For me, like, I think that's a great scene and it was unexpected, but from like an effects standpoint, it wouldn't really be passable today. Like, it's just not believable enough. You know what I mean? Like, like now when you watch horror movies, you want it to look more realistic. And just back then it just wasn't as realistic looking, you know, but it's kind of like the same thing with like Jurassic Park. When that came out, that was like, nobody had ever seen anything like that. That wasn't all like VFX. That was practical, you know, actual stuff. And so it was kind of groundbreaking because it's like, wow, we haven't seen anything like this before. And I think that's kind of the same thing with this movie.
I do have to disagree on one thing though, that you just said, because Jurassic Park, this is my thing. I'm like, Jurassic Park is everybody's like baseline for what we think dinosaurs look and act like. So I think the Jurassic Park, that baseline is what we're all like, we judge every dinosaur on.
Yeah.
Like, you don't look like Jurassic Park dinosaurs. You ain't a real one.
Yeah. And I think over time we've come to realize that that's not really how they look, but I mean, just imagine like being on set and being around those animatronics. Like, that's like,
oh, yeah.
To me, it's just so crazy. But yeah, with this movie, I think that it was probably the same thing. Like, it was, you know, it was something people just hadn't really seen. And even like the character, I have a lot of appreciation for Freddy because he is famous. Like, everybody knows him. I hadn't watched the movie, but I knew who he was, you know?
Yeah, and I think what made him famous wasn't just his look, like the burnt face and everything, the hat, the sweater, everything about Freddy, the claws, everything, actually.
Yeah, Robert Englund's delivery of the lines. Yep, I got the same one.
Actually, well, it's funny, my roommate Jackie found that claw outside at our apartment. Not like outside our door, but like, you know, she went to walk her dogs and somebody had just left it, you know, or whatever by the, you know, and it was in a package. So we're like, all right, you know, I'm going to keep one, you know? So there you go. So yeah, no, Freddy's Claw, I mean, everything is synonymous with him. And so it's just everything. Like, when you think of Jason, all you really think of is the hockey mask, you know, unless you're like a real big Jason fan, then you think of the, like the sack and the hillbilly clothes. But, you know, most people really just, you know, think of the, what is it? The hockey mask. But in Freddy, you've got everything, his whole outfit. He's a, you know, anytime I see somebody wear a sweater that looks like that, I joke on them about looking like Freddy, you know? So, I mean, you see, I mean, it's like the way that he looks. So I think that's actually kind of a cool thing. Like, I think if you're going to make an iconic character, you have to go all the way, you know, with it. Is my opinion.
And the one difference between him and all of the, like, you know, people talk about the big four. You talk about Jason, Michael Myers, Freddy, and Leatherface. Of all four of those, there's only one who has a consistent actor who has done like 99% of the stuff. And that is Freddy. I mean, Robert Englund is Freddy. I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody else says. The remake was kind of crap. And, you know, and I don't think that I can get past like Robert Englund not being Freddy.
Yeah. And his deliverance of the character itself, like, just stands out past all the other ones, because he has this humor, like this dark, funny, snarky, sarcastic humor to him that the other ones don't, you know. They're just, they're just evil, and they're just very determined just to kill.
He's the only one that talks.
Yeah. You know, I mean, sure, some can grunt or, you know, laugh like something's funny, maybe a facial feature here and there if they don't have a mask, but he just, you know, or an expression or something, you're like, hey.
We haven't mentioned Chucky, who's kind of like Freddy. I think Chucky became like the new Freddy because of that stuff, but it started with Freddy. Like, the jokes and the silliness, he wasn't like that in the first one. He was very serious in the first one. But later on, he became a little more jokey and saying puns and stuff. But and not as, I mean, like, if Mackenzie, you end up watching the other Nightmare on Elm Street, you're going to realize it gets really hokey and cheesy, like, even more so.
Oh, I love it.
I know. It's more fun. Like, and he became kind of, like, kids had lunch boxes with Chucky. Like, there's no character, even Victor Crowley, I don't believe, has a lunchbox, you know, like, anymore. Like,
I have two Jason Voorhees lunchboxes, just in case you want to know.
But I think it started with Freddy, though, probably. Freddy had the lunchboxes, then they were like, okay, let's get Jason a lunchbox, you know, or whatever. But, as you know, kids loved Freddy, you know, which was strange in a way. Like, that's not really common these days as much, you know, with characters. I mean, we really don't even have iconic characters anymore in the horror genre that are even close to what Freddy Krueger was. Would you guys agree?
I'm thinking Terrifier.
Yeah, I was gonna say
maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Kind of, maybe. Like, we'll maybe give it a couple more years. We'll see.
Maybe, maybe Pennywise too. You know, but
in a resurrection, like, and you said Victor Crowley. I think that's what we all kind of hoped that Victor Crowley was going to become, and I think he's kind of fallen short. Not that those movies are bad, but I think that he just hasn't become the icon that everybody kind of hoped we would get.
Right. Speaking of which, I just found out, because I rewatched the Kane Hodder documentary that's out there, and he talked about how apparently he was actually asked first to play Freddy, because he has real scars on him. Mm. However, I'm very glad that Wes Craven decided to go with Robert Englund, because I don't know if I could see Kane Hodder playing like a goofy kind of character like that. Like,
bless his heart. Kane Hodder is a really nice guy. He is a stunt guy. He is not an actor. He's not.
Yeah. So it would have been a different character, period. But they decided to go with a guy who could act and was very good. And then they had Jason anyway for Kane Hodder. So it's not like his career went down or anything after that, you know? And then they got to do Freddy versus Jason. So it all came around. And Mackenzie, you actually had a story about that, really. So did you want to share that?
So I'm actually friends with Zach Ward and his wife, Jen. And I was telling Jonathan, like, that I wanted to watch the new Freddy versus Jason since I had now seen this. And I put it on my Instagram story, and Jen reached out to me, and she's like, oh, you know, Zach's in the Freddy versus Jason. You have to watch it. I'm like, yeah, no, I'll get right on that. But I haven't yet.
It's a great movie. I love it.
Yeah. I'm excited to see it. Yeah. I need to watch the other ones, though. I need to watch the other Nightmare on Elm Street.
You know, have you seen any of the Friday the 13th?
I haven't.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm
such a virgin.
No, I think if you watch, just if you kind of know, like, the lore of the two stories, I think you're good. Like, Somebody who hasn't watched all the movies can really appreciate that movie, I think, still.
Okay. Sure. Just like everybody, she's a working makeup effects lady. So it's really hard sometimes to, like, go, hey, you want to come over and watch these movies? Because I have all of them, you know? And eventually, I guess maybe even on her own, she'll watch whatever she can. And maybe she'll start getting back more into it. But I'm very glad that you saw, like, A Nightmare on Elm Street and it didn't, like, freak you out or make, because now it makes you more excited to watch all the rest of the stuff. And trust me, it does not get, the only one I might say might be a little scarier is maybe Wes Craven's New Nightmare, just because they tried to go back to being, you know, a little bit more scary. But, like, even that never, like... Yeah. It got into almost like Scream territory.
Yes, where it was like a meta. It was like Scream before Scream.
Yeah. I mean,
it was his pre-Scream movie.
Right.
I'm actually excited because after watching that, I do think that none of the other ones will scare me. And I'm excited to see them, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I can't watch just any scary movie, but I'm really excited to see some of the, you know, Halloween movies and all that stuff. So I think it'll be great.
Yeah, it's funny because I guess because it's Halloween season and everything, a lot of my podcasts were reviewing, like we just did for Horror, Blood, and Coffee, we just reviewed Halloween 6. And then for the mainstream's last episode, we're going to do Halloween 3, you know, which gets a lot. Yeah, exactly. A lot of people do not like both of those movies. And, you know, then there's a lot of people who do. You know, which I enjoy part 3 a lot. Part 6, you know, it has its issues. But the thing is, like, watching all of those again, it's just a lot of fun. Like, period. Like, when Mackenzie came over to watch Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one, I was happy. Like, I mean, I could watch that movie, like, you know, every day or whatever. You know, like, it's a fun flick. But also very, once again, not very scary. So I don't know what it is. I mean, me, I think I'm desensitized to all of this stuff anyway. Watch so many, like, there's very little that actually scares me these days. But that movie still is, like, iconic for horror. You know, if you want to get into horror, you got to know, got to see these movies. You know,
And when you say that, like, that's exactly what I was thinking too. Like, I even hesitated to watch it for this podcast, the same way with, like, when we did Sleepaway Camp. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I could just stand here and just start reciting the whole damn movie from start to finish. Like, do I really need to watch it? But I'm sitting there playing on my phone going, yeah, Glenn, don't fall asleep, you know, just like reciting the lines. And it gets to the point where you just don't even watch it anymore. You don't process it because it's just so ingrained in your brain. So there is no way at this point in my life that would ever have an effect on me.
Exactly.
Aside from just nostalgia and fun. It's more like background stuff now.
Well, I was able to, since I was like maybe 30 minutes away, I was living 30 minutes away from the houses, Glenn's house and Nancy's house, which are actually across the street from each other, for real. So it was really neat walking down the street. I was like, oh my God, I'm actually walking down Elm Street. like this wasn't, it wasn't called Elm Street, but I was walking down Elm Street. That was pretty cool. So maybe someday, Mackenzie, when you start really getting into it, maybe we'll go check those places out and you can actually see the places that they filmed it.
Those homeowners have to hate it, but they know it when they buy it.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of homeowners, they end up changing the houses so that they don't, you know, they change the house to look different so that people don't bother, you know, people yeah. or whatever on it. So I don't know. I wouldn't. I would keep it there, and I would invite people in as long as they're not creepy crazy, you know, like invite people in. And
I would put like marshmallow cream in my stairs, you know.
Just... That's exactly what I thought too. When she starts walking up the stairs and her feet go, and she comes up, I'm like, oh, I want a fluffer nutter sandwich right now.
That would be great. I don't know if you, I don't know how to do that, but you know, I'm guessing somebody could, you know,
we can figure that out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they did, you know, yeah. So, and that was the '80s. So imagine what you could do now, you know, would you make the walls be able to kind of, you could put your head through the walls?
Oh, that you'd have to have that, like a little like fake wall behind it. So you could just kind of like lean into the latex over somebody. Yeah.
I would love that. But fun. I wonder like how many people have actually gone up to the house and asked to go inside. You know? I mean, that's kind of approaching like, unless you know, well, I don't even know if, cause I know, Sean Clark, do you guys know Sean Clark? Does the, he did something called Horrors Hollow Grounds, right? Where he goes to film locations and checks out what they look like now and stuff. And sometimes he actually goes inside. He actually knocks on the door and asks if he can go inside and check out the place and, you know, see what it looks like now. But I guess that's a little bit different than like a random fan saying, hey, can I go inside your house?
I think I remember hearing somebody say they have signs up and everything. I mean, as long as you're respectful of that, yeah. It doesn't mean that nobody will do it, but like they have signs up, like, you know, stay like off the lawn and whatnot, stay out in the road and you can take pictures or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So in some places they probably allow you to do that or whatever, but some places they wouldn't. Anyway, it was really fun to just check out the places and just walk down there, but we didn't really do for very long. We just took pictures outside and walked away because, you know, you don't want to get the cops called on you, you know, for trespassing, I guess, technically or whatever, you know, like, well, you're on the street. So yeah. It's not, you know, as long as you don't go.
Maybe like, I don't know. Like, I can't think of what the legal word would be for, but almost like being like a peeping Tom kind of thing. Like,
I would just tell them I'm from the bank and they're behind on their payments. So they just want to see what the house looks like.
You're like, I don't know what movie you're talking about, but I'm here on official business.
See, we got no cops involved. We got this.
Mm-hmm. If I owned one of those houses, I would open it up during Halloween, like maybe the week of, for people to see it. But other than that, I wouldn't like not let people come in, probably.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's still your house.
That would be cool, you know, just like somebody being nice, like letting people see the house, you know,
or somebody being like paper. Smart and getting some money out of it,
like renting out like an Airbnb.
Yeah.
There you go.
There was actually the Fresh Prince house was up for an Airbnb. So that's pretty cool, you know? But it was only like certain days and you had to be the first to get it or whatever, you know, but it was only $30, you know, and you got like, a lot out of it. So, I mean, you know, and apparently it was the Fresh Prince himself actually hosting it. So I don't know what that meant. You know, I don't know if Will like was there or whatever.
I don't think he leaves his house for $30.
Yeah. Probably not. But anyway, that was like, so that's kind of cool. Like if you rented out the place for like an Airbnb, but not everybody, you know, is able to, right. You know, not everybody would want to buy a house just to rent it out on our Airbnb. They'd probably want to live there and, you know, but like, I think, is that something you have to disclose with the people?
I doubt it. I mean, it's probably something they would want to disclose because it would raise the property value, I would think.
Right.
That it was, used as a prop in a famous movie. Unlike the Amityville house, which is actually, there's the Amityville house and then there's the one they use for the movie. And that one's gone through a bunch of different people and stuff. And it's not like somebody got murdered there. And there are even states where you don't have to disclose if somebody died in the house. So I'm pretty sure you don't have to disclose if it was used in a movie.
I think I've seen some of the horrors, hollow grounds where people didn't know. And the people were just people just come up and say, hey, they start seeing people sneaking around the back to take pictures and stuff. And they're just like, what are these people doing?
So yeah, because I mean, a lot of these places are just businesses or houses. Yeah. I went to Camp Crystal Lake, Camp Noby Bosco, which is an operating, functional Boy Scout camp. It has been since 1927. It still is. And when you go on the tours, the tour guides are actually the counselors there now.
Oh, wow.
And they're these young guys, who this is their Boy Scout camp or whatever, So all of us had to inevitably ask them, what do you think when all these people come here and they're oh my God, this is Alice's cabin and blah, blah, blah. But they're just yeah, I mean, we saw the movie and whatever eventually, but it was more oh, look, it's our camp in that movie.
Right.
Not it's our movie at that camp. It's a whole different frame of mind.
Yeah. I'm actually wondering if they tell the ghost story of Jason.
They do. Night.
They do to the campers?
Yes. So that's what a lot of them said is a lot of them, their older brothers, the older campers and stuff would tell stories or whatever.
About Jason Voorhees being dead from drowning.
Yeah.
That is so awesome. I'm sorry. I would love to get there.
The fact of the matter is they all knew it was a movie. Oh. So it doesn't have, it's not like any other campfire tale. I mean,
You can't really tell a Jason story now and then people not know, even kids know who Jason is.
Yeah.
So, dang it. But that would have been so cool. If you could really confuse a kid who's never heard of Jason Voorhees and tell them that story and everything and make them believe that there's really a serial killer on the camp. Okay, I do want to talk a little bit more to Mackenzie because she is our virgin here, and so we gotta
put her in the spotlight.
I know we gotta get.
Oh man.
All right. So you've watched the first one and everything. So and you're gonna eventually probably watch the sequels or whatever. What would you say is the most fun aspect of the film? What was the thing that you enjoyed the most out of it? And what was the thing that you kind of wish that they had gotten rid of? Sorry if I'm kind of hard hitting questions here or something, but kind of.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think, and I know this is weird because I just have such a weird perspective watching it for the first time in 2019 or 2020. Gosh, I can't even remember the year. So I kind of just I think my favorite part was that it was in the 80s. It's just just brings nostalgia back from even though I wasn't born in the 80s, it still is I grew up around that time. And so for me, it was kind of nostalgic. I love 80s movies. And for me, I liked it because it was kind of cheesy and, it was not super scary. I didn't know Johnny Depp was in it, so that was probably my favorite part. I've never seen him that young in a movie, so that was interesting for me. Just seeing how they did the makeup and the blood and stuff back then, being a special effects person. And the question you said, if there was something I could
what was the thing that you didn't like about it? What was something that you weren't a fan of?
I don't know that there was anything I didn't like, but one thing I did notice was the actual makeup on Freddy. I just feel if that had been developed today, it would have been a little bit more realistic looking. I don't think it's super realistic looking. It doesn't play off realistic. But again, I can't say much because it became mega famous and everybody knows that look. So, and back then it probably was like pretty terrifying to look at, you know, but it's just seeing it for the first time in 2020 is just a weird perspective on the whole entire thing.
On probably a, you know, a 4K of a 4K of a 4K scan, you know, on a 60-inch TV. This is one of the things that I always say about Friday the 13th, that I don't like watching the upscaled versions of Friday the 13th because you can start to see all the things, like the neck appliance for Kevin Bacon does not match his face at all. But these people were watching dailies back in 79 and they were going, oh, well, I wonder what's going to happen when somebody gets an 80-inch TV in, you know, 2019 or whatever. And so a lot of that stuff, like, that was kind of shrouded behind, like, film grain and, you know, just film quality, all that stuff has started to, like, break down because they just try to keep making everything sharper and sharper and sharper, and it doesn't work for some of the effects.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Like, when Tina gets, like, this is the one thing I noticed, and I was watching on DVD, not even Blu-ray. But when Tina gets like sliced when she's like in her bed, I mean, it's obviously like just, you know, latex. I mean, and it's just, I mean, but I don't remember it looking that way. And I don't think it was just like my like going, ooh, I'd never seen it before. But I think it looked like real skin when you watch it on VHS, you know, mm-hmm. and a yeah. TV that's this big or whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, everything was different back then, you know, we didn't have the technology that we have today. So what they used back then was passable for what we had, you know, yeah, but watching it now, knowing what we do have is kind of a weird take on the whole thing.
Exactly. But see, this goes to, like, I was just talking to Derek Huey yesterday on Horror, Blood, and Coffee about, you know, him watching movies as an editor, right? So you see things as an editor a little bit differently than you would. So as a makeup girl, you see things differently. You know, makeup artist, you're looking at, you know, stuff, you're like, oh, that doesn't look real, you know. Back then, those makeup, that was like what they could do, you know. Like nowadays, makeup's probably changed a lot, period, and they're able to do a lot of stuff. However, I'm going to say, if you watch the new Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy looks way worse than the Robert Englund Freddy. You will want the Robert Englund Freddy back.
Wait, what do you mean by worse? Like, scarier? Or just
like, just way overdone. Like, yeah, I mean, bad. You know, if so, yeah, and it just, it looks like they were, it looks like somebody was 20 years old, and they're like, well, I can make that look better. Yeah, you know, like start putting appliances all over him and blah 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 blah, and it's like,
yeah, it's terrible. It's
like they put a filter on him too, almost. It was
I called it the Grinch stole Freddy because it literally looks like the Grinch, not Freddy. It's terrible. Like, it is the worst. It's Cat in the Hat as Freddy. Like, it's just terrible. if you, I swear to God, I'll show you pictures later. You'll be like, okay, yeah, I get it. Because it does look, I mean, it's awful. However, so I think if they did Freddy now, and they have been talking about Kevin Bacon playing Freddy, you know, and I don't know, I'd see it. I think he looks, he does.
Oh, I'd
have, like,
see it. I only stupid remake. I mean, I won't say I won't see it, but.
I'm not a huge fan of the remake. But if they're going to remake it again, that's just going to happen. I mean, I know a lot of people are like, oh no, it doesn't need to be remade. And I'm like, let it. Cause then more people watch the original, you know, some more, you know, or whatever. Anytime a remake happens, people go, oh, let's watch the original, you know? So I say remake the hell out of it. I don't care. But, and that's probably going to happen soon. Maybe in the next couple years, because, the rights are in the hands of the Wes Craven's estate, and they are looking for a home for Freddy, so a new home. And I'm kind of wanting them to go Blumhouse. I know a lot of people say no, but then if we get Blumhouse and they have like all the people, they can do Freddy versus Jason versus Michael, and I can be happy again, you know.
Well, nobody owns Jason, and nobody will for a very long time.
Not yet, but yeah, once.
Not until Victor Miller dies.
No.
Sorry, well, I know that sounds like horrible.
Damn.
But really, I mean, it's just going to be a stalemate for so long, and it's so unfortunate. But that's a whole other show.
Yeah, it's a Friday the 13th show that we'll do eventually, I'm sure. But yeah, so I just can't wait for them to eventually do something with the Freddy again, you know, because it's been way too long since they did anything with Freddy, you know. So I'm excited. So let's talk a little bit about the characters in it, because we talked briefly about it. We talked about there's Nancy, played by Heather Langenkamp, and that was her first, I think that was her first role, like big role or anything, if I'm correct.
I mean, it was definitely, if she hadn't acted before, I don't know, but that was definitely like her big claim to fame.
Right. I know she later on did like Just the Ten of Us.
Just the Ten of Us, which I love that show.
I grew up watching that show. I think it was on USA or something back in the day. And so I'd watch it all the time, you know. But I didn't even know, like, because I wasn't a huge Nightmare on Elm Street fan when I was a kid. So I had no idea that that was Nancy, you know, until years later. Until I had to look it up and stuff. So that's kind of cool. I don't know if they'll ever release that that show. But she kind of became famous for being Nancy, and did it for three movies, I believe. She was back for the third.
So she was in the first one, second one, no. Third one she was in it, and then she was in New Nightmare, correct?
Right. Which I kind of was, I'm trying to think, did they ever explain, because the ending of the movie has the top fall down, and you know, they kind of drive off and everything, so I thought Freddy would have killed all of them, right?
Yeah, like, they kind of write it off as a dream sequence thing.
Oh, that's so lame.
I know. Well, you know, you have to remember too, there was a time that people didn't write movies to be sequels. Like, I think people thought they had loftier goals about their movies. And then once they made money, it was like, oh, well, we should have opened that up. I mean, how many movies do you know of that you can think of that were like, this just ended in a dream sequence that just, they just totally ignored in the next one, you know? They wanted like this big bang for part one. And then they're like, oh, but we need all of our people to come back for part two.
Friday the 13th.
Yep, that's the big one.
Oh, I might have spoiled something, but whatever. Mackenzie, just don't listen to that.
Like, no, it's fine.
If she's
watching regardless.
Yeah, you'll enjoy Friday the 13th, I think. But the sequels, I think, are, to me, honestly, the sequels are a lot better. I like the first Friday the 13th, but I like the other ones a little bit more. But Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one is my favorite. Like, this movie is my favorite of all the movies. And it's only that in Halloween I can, and maybe Child's Play, I can say the first one's my favorite, because, you know, a lot of them I actually like the sequels more, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre maybe too, but maybe not, because the sequels are a lot more fun. The first one's a little bit too, you know, too serious and not as you know, not as scary. But I don't know.
I do think that that's what holds Freddy back a little bit, is that Freddy is such a strong character, his sequels fall apart. Like, I think even people who are like, I love Freddy, but my God, I am not going to watch Nightmare on Elm Street 5 ever fucking again. I'm sorry.
I liked Dream Child and Dream Warrior.
I love Dream Warriors. Master. Yeah, Dream Mastery. Yeah. Like, once it starts getting into that, I'm like,
I know, they kind of got a little weird. They got a little weird, and like, there was parts of it kind of reminded me of a little Texas Chainsaw Massacre-y, where they're all sitting at the table and shit to eat and all that.
Oh, that was one of my favorite scenes I always remember from Nightmare on Elm Street movies. I think it was from part five, was when the girl just keeps eating and keeps eating, and it just gets big and just blows up, you know?
Yeah.
That was probably because I mean, at that time it was on TV, you know, television, like in the 90s. And I was just like, I turned on like USA because they used to play a lot of really great horror films back then. And now they don't. USA has become a different, it's rebranded to be a different channel. But back in the day, they used to do like Up All Night and they would do all these other things. So they had Nightmare on Elm Street all the time, especially in October. And they would show, you know, all of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies that were out. And I saw part five just flipping through the channel. I saw that scene and I was like, oh, nope, got to turn. Because it was so gross to me. And maybe that would be fun to see, Mackenzie, that would be fun to see your take on that. Because that was a pretty cool effect, you know, and everything back then. But then again, you might look at it and go, okay, we could do better now, you know?
Yeah.
So that was one thing. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah.
So one thing that I kind of wanted to know from everybody is, like, regardless of what you think, like, they could do now, blah, blah, blah. Like, what was the one effect or the one kill or whatever in the original Nightmare on Elm Street that still kind of is, that holds intact, like, the one that holds intact the best for you?
Either one of you. I guess Mackenzie first.
The one that stuck out in my head was when she's, like, lifted up onto the ceiling and, like, there's just blood everywhere. Like, I think that's pretty unforgettable because it's, like, it's so unexpected that it's going to be that gory. And so that, for me, that was, like, my favorite part. Like, it wasn't, I don't know that, yeah, like, I don't know that it was, like, as believable as, like, it you know, but for what it was, I really, really loved that scene.
Definitely. What about you, Joe?
I'm gonna say, you know, Johnny Depp when he's like laying in the bed. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's classic. He like, it sucks down and then it's whoosh. It stick in my mind more because my brother was a heavy sleeper and he would sleep in one spot on his bed. And if I go in there to play with him, like video games and stuff, I'd sit on his bed and it would start sinking in that spot, and it would freak me out every time. I'm like, oh shit.
I mean, for me, it wasn't a death, but the creepiest like effect scene kind of thing was the hand coming up from the bathtub, you know. They I don't know if they parry. I know in Freddy versus Jason they do a bathtub thing again too, but in this, you know, like that scene, just how creepy it was and how easy that is to do, really, you know. If you get, like, nowadays it would definitely be even easier, right, you know. So it's just kind of cool, like, to me that was always the fun effect. But obviously also, if you want to go into like effect, the head going through the door, the wall, you know. What about you, Rebecca?
So I will say one thing about the Johnny Depp thing. That's probably what I would say normally, but you know, like, that was, is so groundbreaking that room has been used in other things because that room actually flips over.
Oh, wow.
They did it. Yeah. So the room is actually upside down. So they're dropping blood through the bed, and they use that for a bunch of different, they've used that for movies since then. So I think that one's kind of cool that it like has like some longevity as the effect. But like the one that I always thought was the creepiest is when she's in her English classroom and Tina comes walking up with the body bag. Again, it's so simple. It's just a bloody girl in a body bag going, you know, just like walking down the hall, and it's just so creepy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that is great. And we also haven't talked about how Lin Shaye, who was in it as the teacher, and she, like, I mean, she's been in a bunch of stuff. You know, she was in There's Something About Mary. She's, but what she's most known for now is being in Insidious movies. And it's so funny that, like, it was not till, like, years later, until she was older, even older, you know, that she was, like, I mean, she was in this iconic movie, the first Nightmare on Elm Street, because her brother was Robert Shaye, who is the head of New Line Cinema, or was. I don't know if he still is or not, but he was the head of New Line Cinema at the time. And so I'm guessing that was part of, you know, making the movie, was you had to put Lynn in the movie. And I mean, she popped up in Dumb and Dumber, and There's Something About Mary, a lot of the New Line movies that the Farrelly brothers worked on, but they loved working with her. And everybody I've heard loves working with her. She's just really sweet and easy to work with. But that, like, that movie, Nightmare on Elm Street, was the first one to, like, have her as the teacher, you know, in it. And she was wonderful. You know, it's just really great to see her. She looks almost the same, you know?
Yeah, like, she really does. She's aged well.
Yeah. So that's amazing. And just that school scene. And it was actually mimicked in Scream, because there was that scene with, if you guys ever watched Scream, there's that scene with, I think it was Wes Craven actually dressed up in the Freddy outfit as a janitor.
As a janitor.
You know, so it was a nice little
running, like, in the halls.
but in Scream, he's just as the janitor, just going, hey, what did you say to me? You know, right? And then what is it? Henry Winkler says, nothing, Fred, or something like that, and walks away. And I was like, okay, that was a nice little homage to Scream, to Nightmare on Elm Street, which actually was the movie in a way that put Wes Craven on the map. You know, he had done a few other things before this, but this was the movie. Now, Mackenzie, you had mentioned earlier that the idea of the film, right, was more scary than the film itself. Did you know that was actually based on a news article that Wes Craven had read about some kid who supposedly had died in his sleep? Some kid were having these nightmares and kept telling his parents. And I think this was in Zimbabwe or something.
I was going to say, like, Cambodia. Indonesia or
Cambodia. I think, wasn't it Cambodia? Like, they were going through, like, some kind of attack or war or something like that. And they got traumatized or something, maybe.
Yeah. And he was having dreams and nightmares. And they think that the nightmare actually killed him. So he was like, wow, that'd be a great idea. So he put that as the thing. Then my other favorite story I remember hearing is that Wes Craven, based Freddy off of this random, I think, hobo or something, some man who would walk by his his apartment, and he was dressed like Freddy, you know, like he had that outfit, and he walked up and he just walked by the house, looked up and saw Wes like staring down at him, you know, and Wes got freaked out. You know, or whatever, that like this guy just like locked eyes with him or whatever. And he'd always remembered that guy and decided to put him, you know, to give him like a character. So thank you, random hobo. And
Joe, you are correct. It was a refugee family from Cambodia, from the killing fields, who came here. And then the kid was having these nightmares and he eventually died. And they think it was the nightmares that killed him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only explanation they had. Yeah.
That's insane.
That's crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah. I try not to tell you a lot of stuff that I might tell you on the podcast. Because, you know, if I told you these things earlier, you'd have been like, oh, yeah, I know that, you know, right? But it's more fun when you're like, oh, crap, I didn't, like, this is news to me, you know?
Yeah, it makes it a lot more interesting even. Like, that's crazy.
There, when you're finished with the series, whenever you finish watching the whole thing, there's a fantastic documentary called Never Sleep Again that has, like, I think it's like 4 hours long of a documentary, and it has like at least 30 minutes to an hour of each movie, like, you know, behind the scenes and stories, how they came up with stuff. And on YouTube, you can look up all the different things. Like, there's one YouTube video that I watched that was about all the Nightmare on Elm Street ideas that they would have had for all the other movies that just never got made, you know, which is, I love that stuff. Like, I love kind of like thinking of alternate universes where these stories would exist in our, you know, like, I don't know, so many, like, a freaking Peter Jackson wrote a Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, pre-Lord of the Rings, I think. But, like, that would have just been nuts to see the director of Lord of the Rings making a Nightmare on Elm Street.
No, you know? Peter Jackson is the director of Dead Alive. Sorry, John.
And Bad Taste and Meet the Feebles.
Feebles.
a ton of other fantastic horror movies.
That's, yeah.
even The Frighteners is a fantastic horror mm-hmm. film done by Peter Jackson. However, most people know him for the Hobbit movies, you know, so.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, that's how he got most famous. But then they go and watch all the other movies, so, you know.
True.
Yeah, right? They look up his, and they see how vastly different his original films were yes. compared to, like, you know, what he does now, which is great. I would love to see him do another horror film at some point.
But he is remastering four of his older films on Ultra 4K right now.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yep. Three of the four that you mentioned. So Meet the Feebles, Bad Taste, Dead Alive, or Brain Dead, and then also Beautiful Creatures.
Oh, nice. Beautiful Creatures is wonderful. Or wait, Heavenly?
Heavenly Creatures. So there you go.
Yes. Okay. I was going to say.
A very, very young Kate Winslet.
Yes.
I was going to say, that was like on IFC all the time, wasn't it?
Probably.
Yeah. Or in that other girl, they were like Catholic schoolgirls? Or am I thinking of a different
movie? No, okay. I think you're thinking of the right thing.
Okay, cool. Damn, that's an old movie.
Yeah. Well, it was like 97, I think, or 98 or something like that. So I don't know.
It was like 20 some odd years ago, John. But, you know.
I know. I know. I was in high school then.
I know. So I know.
But yeah, so anyway, it's fantastic to kind of look back at these, at this original film. And I'm very glad that we did this like poll, you know, to do this. Cause this wasn't one I was like wanting to originally do. I don't even know why I put it up on the poll. I think I did that because so many people asked for it. And I was like,
somebody just added it because the whole idea was back to school. It's taken us a month to actually like get us all together. So now it's not back to school anymore. But yeah, like, I mean, we had like Cutting Class and like Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2 and these other movies. And I think somebody added this on as a back to school movie.
And we are going to do those movies. However, I think for the first five movies, they're going to be slashers. You know, but after that, I kind of want to go into other kind of horror films that were in the 80s, you know, because slashers were a little bit more, you know, big, like, and Nightmare on Elm Street was like one of the first real big, like famous slashers, you know, even though, I mean, I guess because he has the claws, it is a slasher, but it's not like a, you know, was it a machete or something, you know?
Right. It brought in like other lore, like the dream stuff. Like it had more of a supernatural type thing, not just some like mindless killer.
Right. And a lot of people, even Wes Craven himself kind of went back to that with Shocker, you know, like a supernatural killer like that, you mm-hmm. know? And which I rewatched, I hadn't seen it for years, and rewatched with my brother, and we both did not like that movie. I don't know.
It's something.
But People Under the Stairs, however, that's a fantastic film. And if you haven't seen that, McKinsey, I'm pretty sure if you haven't seen Nightmare on Elm Street, but that is, I mean, and the main kid from it, Brandon, Quentin Adams, he's a really cool dude. Like I met him at some of the conventions and stuff, and he comes and hangs out with everybody. But that's a great, great Wes Craven film. Shocker, however, I was surprised I didn't enjoy as much. And tell that to some diehard fans, they will rip you apart though, because a lot of people love that film.
It has fun elements. It's just, it seemed like when you watch it now, it's like, wow, he was really just trying to make some money.
Maybe going back to Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, like
trying to
capture that supernatural psycho kind of
the kind of can get you not on the real plane, I think.
Well, we're about out of time. Was there anything else anybody wanted to bring up about this?
I have a question. So I don't know if I missed this, because, you know, I only have seen it the one time, or if they explain it later on, or if it never gets explained. But do they kind of explain how Freddy even really, like, gets from, like, you know, I know he had, like, his tragedy or whatever, but how he gets into that dream space to, like, attack?
Yeah, watch the rest of them. Yeah. Watch the rest of them.
Okay.
Yeah, they do go into a lot more of his origins, like post-death, but then also his origins, like before he died.
Yeah, I think that actually, I'm going to change my answer from earlier. I think that's the only bummer about the first movie is they don't really explain a whole lot about the character himself. So
once you watch a few of the sequels, you might be like, yeah, it was probably better that they didn't explain some stuff.
And I would be interested to see it, though.
Yeah.
That's another thing that, yeah, no, they're great movies. Don't get me wrong. But I can see, because Rebecca, like I pointed out Rebecca when you were saying that, because Rebecca was just mentioning earlier how she's not a big fan of Nightmare on Elm Street 4 and 5. And that's where they really kind of go more into the lore and the world and all that stuff. And some of it gets to be a little bit more hokey. But it's still interesting, and we wouldn't want to ruin it for you,
yeah.
And everything. So you would, but yeah, it does go into that. So they explain it, but they don't in the first one. So you are not wrong at all. In the first one, it was more just like explaining that you got killed in a fire by the parents, which was kind of like, I feel like if they did remake it now, it would be cooler if, like, you saw more of the parents, you know, in there. Like, if they were to do an actual remake, they'd have all the parents, like, hanging out together before, you know, while all this stuff's happening. That would have been cool. Because what I didn't like was, like, what's his name? Glenn. Glenn's dad was I don't want him associated with that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait.
You're one of the ones that killed him, you dumbass.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, so wait, you don't want him, or you think she's the problem? You know, like you were friends with the lady who helped set everybody on fire or him on fire. So it's like, that's probably, I'd agree with you. Yeah. That's probably the worst part about this movie is like there's a lot of things that could have been, you know, better explained or.
Yeah. It leaves a lot to the mind, like, you know, how it all works out that way. So, but I'm excited to see the rest now.
I will say that when I was watching this, I like paused it at one point to go to the bathroom and I was like sitting there and I was like, I thought to myself, this is the worst example since the 1950s sci-fi movies of the adults not believing the children.
Right.
Because it's like, why wouldn't they? How the hell would they know? They didn't have the internet. How the hell would they know who this guy is? How the hell would she pull that hat out from this like hospital bed?
Right.
You know, but they're just like, like, stupid.
And the mom always trying to get her to sleep, even though she's having these issues with her sleep. Like, I mean, that's like the kid that actually died in his sleep. That would be as if the parents were like, you know what? You're having all these issues with your sleep. We're just going to let you keep sleeping. I think she drugs her own daughter. Yes. I mean, like, that's just so messed up. Like, that, you know,
Indian, darling.
But I will say that the remake, they tried to explain things better, and I hated it. So if they were to remake it again, because they made it more like he was like a child rapist when he was just a child killer. Sorry, there's a big difference. I don't think, and I think, like, you know, it made it worse for him. Like, he was not, he became like sort of, like, in a way, you kind of feel sorry for Freddy in the original movies, you know, because he was a killer.
But you find out his origins and it makes you, there is some sympathy stuff.
Yeah.
And I kind of don't like that, but.
You don't like having sympathy for Freddy?
I don't like having sympathy for Freddy. I'll have sympathy for Jason, even for Michael, but just for Freddy, I just don't, I want him to be my sarcastic, sharp-tongued, you know.
Yeah, sharp-knived.
Yeah.
Kind of guy. But yeah, no, it was so the remake, just trust me, Mackenzie, the remake is not as, you know, whatever, but you know, it's one of those things where they tried, and it was Platinum Dunes who did Friday the 13th remake, which I mean, a lot of people, some people don't like that one, but I think a lot of people don't like it just because Michael Bay owns Platinum Dunes. And I think people wanted to hate it, period. I didn't mind it. I didn't, you know, it's not one of my favorites, but it wasn't terrible. And it's kind of cool to see what it was like. To me, it was kind of cool because I'm a Supernatural fan, the TV show Supernatural. So Jared Padalecki was in Friday the 13th. What's the chick's? Jensen Ackles was in My Bloody Valentine remake. And Katie Cassidy, who was a big part of season 3 of Supernaturals, was in The Nightmare on Elm Street. So, yeah, like if I ever watch those movies, it's like all my Supernatural people in one, you know, in all three of the different movies. But, you know, whatever. I mean, those movies, the remakes, My Bloody Valentine was great. You know,
I actually love that one.
Yeah.
I dig that one.
Yeah.
And I still dig the original.
Yeah. The first, those two, and there wasn't, I don't think there was ever a sequel of My Bloody Valentine, so I'm surprised they haven't even done a sequel of the remake yet. So I don't know. But anyway, and Black Christmas, don't even get me started with that stuff. You know, like that's a touchy subject right there. But that's for another podcast. So I guess we'll wrap it up. I want to thank everybody for being on.
Aren't we going to rate it?
Oh shoot. Yes. Thank you. This is why you're a co-host. Well, let's rate it. I guess, let's start with Joe first. What would you rate it?
I give it a 4.
Give it a 4 out of 5?
Yeah, give 4 out of 5.
And once again, we'll just let people know, one is like bad, you know, and 5 is excellent. So 4 was pretty good, right? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Mackenzie?
I think I would probably give it like a 4.5 because... Oh. Yeah, just because it's like one of the only ones that I can watch.
Wait till you see some of the other like 80s movies and then, you know. I think...
But honestly, there's not other than the unexplained... backstory of Freddy. I think everything was done really well, you know. I don't know. I really liked the movie.
Definitely. What about you, Rebecca?
This is a 5 out of 5. I mean,
yeah.
This is my, probably Dream Warriors Part 3 is my favorite of the franchise, but this is a close second, if not like right there, just neck and neck.
Good. I was actually going to say 5 out of 5 as well. And I would say that this is my favorite of the franchise. Dream Warriors is my second favorite. And then I absolutely adore the 4th and 5th one. I don't care what, you know, like whatever. I adore those movies because freaking Brian Helgeland wrote this 4th one and it was just off the wall ridiculous. Like that's when I started enjoying it because like, and I don't even want to talk about 2 at all. I'm sorry. I don't care. It almost did not feel like, you know, it was like they were trying to do something different with it. And then, you know, all the rest of them were just fun and goofy, but not nearly as, you know, not nearly as 7, you know, was all right, you know, but I felt like I want to see Freddy, you know, if not just his glove. That was the thing with 7, Mackenzie, is not really, it's not, it's sort of Freddy, sort of not, it's whatever, it's a weird, like, and it was meta, once again.
Every franchise has one.
That's true, Friday the 13th,
Halloween had like 3, I mean, you know.
Well, yeah.
I mean, not really like a meta one, but I mean, they all have that one that's almost like a red herring that everybody thinks they're going into. It's going to be a straight, like, whatever movie, and it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well,
they're like, we're going to do something different.
Friday the 13th did a lot of those. You know, they try to switch it up, and Child's Play is always a little bit weird and different. Yeah. So those are a lot of fun. But yeah, so this was great. I loved having everybody on here. I'm glad everybody seemed to enjoy the movie, period. I think next month, we've talked about it, I think we're going to do Blood Rage. And that I absolutely adore that movie. I can't wait to talk about that. Joe, have you seen it?
No, I have not. No, I will for sure. But I will for sure watch it this weekend, though.
Well, you don't have to watch it this weekend, but you can if you want. I would watch it closer to Thanksgiving because it's a Thanksgiving movie. That's why we want to put it out, you know. And then, no, Mackenzie, you haven't seen it, so.
No.
If you haven't seen Nightmare on Elm Street, I'm hoping you haven't seen Blood Rage, though.
I'm going to start watching some more of these, though, because you guys got me excited, and I know I have a tolerance for it now, so.
Oh, there you go. Awesome.
Yeah.
You're not definitely only a virgin, now you're a convert.
Yeah, we got.
I do feel like a convert, honestly.
Well, good. We got to get you on more of this one because this one we talk about more classic horror films and stuff than a lot of our other shows. Like Horror, Blood, and Coffee, we'll talk about everything, you know, from good classic ones to like shitty movies. You know, we don't care. And then IFC is mainly indie movies and stuff. And then what is it? The other one that we're just doing now, Horror Film Lovers. That's good movies, but that's newer good movies, you know, than this one. This is all 80s. I can't wait.
I think that's like my limit. Like, I think the 80s horror movies are the ones that I can handle. After that, it starts getting too scary for me.
Maybe, yeah. You talked about how you weren't a fan of The Conjuring because it scared you too much. And
I was going to say, you said you grew up in a haunted house. You probably can't tolerate the 70s either because the 70s were way rooted in like the haunted house, like haunting type stuff.
Yeah.
And that went more to like things that were like tangible, but like haunting. It was more like, you know, somebody just walking around with a knife.
Yeah, and that stuff is fine. I think it's just the paranormal stuff that really gets me. But yeah, I don't know. I like the 80s slashers. They're great.
Well, maybe we'll have you back. I mean, if you can. I don't know how busy your November is going to be. But if we can have you back.
Blood Rage is fabulous.
It is. It's a really good one. And so we'll see. And we'll hopefully have Julianne back. Unfortunately, I think she's been... she just got done with Days of the Dead that she helps run. So, I mean, I would imagine she's sleeping.
I hope,
you know, for her sake. But we'll have her back. She will be missed on this one, but she'll be back for, I'm sure she'll love Blood Rage. Don't do that one because everybody loves talking about that one. And then, I don't know, maybe for Christmas we'll have to get a Christmas slasher one, you know?
We might have to do, like, Christmas Evil.
Ooh. Well, you don't want to do Silent Night, Deadly Night,
we too? We can do Silent Night, Deadly Night, but Christmas Eve, everybody does that when Christmas Evil is just bizarro fun.
That's true. Sadly, we can't do Black Christmas because that was 70s. Yeah. That was 78, I believe, so.
Yep.
That was around the same time as Halloween, I believe, or maybe earlier than Halloween.
I think so. I think of 78.
Okay. So anyway, thank you guys so much. This is awesome. I really had a blast chatting with everybody. Hold on after I'll talk to you guys real quick. And then everybody, hope you guys enjoyed listening to 80s horror movies. And join us next month when we do a Thanksgiving movie, do Blood Rage. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.